This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, welcome back in. 106.7 The Fan. The Maryland Terrapins are in action today. A 22-10 team dealing with an 11 seed that has become a trendy pick in Belmont. 3:10 tip-off, True TV if you are at home watching. If not, we'll keep you abreast of everything going on here on 106.7 The Fan. Chris Nocke joins us to preview the game at 11:30. He will be on the call on the Terps Radio Network. Jason LaConfora is on the show today at 1. Here to report about the Redskins possibly trading up for Dwayne Haskins. And Brett Connolly of the Capitals, 1:30 today. So make note, we will be asking him about, among other things, getting a point against the Lightning, getting to the 20-goal plateau for the first time in his career this week. And he is one of the Capitals who's come out and said he will not go to the White House on Monday when the team meets with President Donald Trump after its championship run this past summer. So we'll talk to him about that on the show in our final hour. Danny, the tournament begins at 12:15, about an hour and 10 minutes from right now as we're at the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino. Tip-off of the first game will be a 10-7 matchup. Minnesota and Louisville, a pair of teams with almost identical records. The Gophers 21-13. Louisville comes in 20-13. And this is a fascinating matchup. I think sometimes the committee puts these games together for storylines.
And they go, whoops, look at what just happened. What a great story this is.
Rick Pitino coached Louisville from 2001 to 2017. His son is the coach at Minnesota and has been since 2013. He's been to the tournament once. They got upset in a 12-5 game looking for his first tournament win. But the Pitino family will be watching very closely today.
One would think. And this Minnesota team is talented. They're okay, but they have way too many losses. Maryland got them a couple different times. Louisville's not the same great group that we're used to seeing, not a, you know, a top seed by any stretch of the imagination. Jordan Nwora is a pretty decent player for them. They play good defense like Louisville teams usually do, and they're good on the foul line. So it's a decent group, but this kind of is, you know, a toss-up type game for me. I'm not sure what the Vegas odds have, but, yeah, I mean, there's extra motivation, one would think, for Minnesota head coach, the younger Pitino.
Let's get into the report from Jason LaConfora, who's going to be on the show at 1, because we want to take some calls early on here in the show before we really get hot and heavy into the tourney as it gets going next hour, on the possibility of the Redskins trading up to get Dwayne Haskins, something that really hadn't been talked about, hadn't been discussed, I think because it doesn't make a lot of sense that Washington would trade up several spots, go into the top 10 for a QB, to give up the capital, whether that means second, third-round pick this year, early rounds, first, second round next year, depending on how far they'd have to move up. Haskins, according to most people, is somewhere in the 3 to 5 range on the big board. I think most executives around the league now will tell you, if you have the opportunity to talk to one, that Kyler Murray is the expected first overall pick, whether he goes to the Arizona Cardinals, staying put, or to a team that trades up to select him there. But I want to read from this Jason LaConfora report on CBS Sports yesterday, and of course, he is in Entercom Radio and a Radio.com insider now as well. League sources say Washington is already among the teams sniffing around, and with pretty much every GM in the league convinced that Kyler Murray is going to go first overall, San Francisco likely will take its top defensive player on the board second overall, probably Nick Bosa from Ohio State. The Jets very well could be sitting pretty with that third pick as an avenue for a quarterback-needy team to jump ahead of the Giants, who pick sixth overall. There is a readily accepted drop-off in the quarterback class beyond that, and while the need is not as robust as it has been in past years, it only takes one team to make the move. Look, I don't think the Redskins are trading up, I'll say that first, but I understand LaConfora's logic, which is this could be a perfect spot for the Jets at number 3. The catbird seat, man. If Murray goes 1, The 49ers at two go Bosa or any other defensive player. The Giants are absolutely going to take the best remaining quarterback at six. If you want Haskins, he's yours if you want to go up to three. And Washington, according to Lockenfora, he calls it sniffing around, has considered the idea.
To figure out what it would take. I mean, but think about this, right? Other quarterback needy teams, what kind of great position is San Francisco in then? Right? If you're San Francisco, you could stay put, obviously, and name that Bosa as your new defensive end, and that's great. Or you could end up with a Dallas Cowboys Jimmy Johnson-esque haul to add a number of pieces, to give Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch that many more pieces to work with. You could probably end up with multiple first-rounders over the course of years and probably trade back to, say, 10, end up with Devin White from LSU, or trade back to 9 with the Dolphins and, maybe take Greedy Williams or, Quinnen Williams, the defensive lineman from Alabama. The point is, if the Redskins want to trade up to 3, in theory, that would make sense. You get the second quarterback on the board. Well, what's to stop the Giants from moving from 6 to 2, et cetera? I'm with you. I just don't see this, because going from 15 to 2 or 3 is arduous. I mean, when the Redskins went from, it was 5, I believe, to 2, right? You saw what it cost. It was a ransom.
They picked 6 that year.
Was it 6? Yeah, 6 to 2. It was a ransom. I can't fathom the cost of what it would be to move from 15 up in that same spot.
To 3.
To 3, yeah.
You're talking about a deal that probably resets the market in terms of draft compensation at that point, the picks that you'd have to give up. I'm not interested in it. I'm just not. I don't love Haskins enough, and I'm not sure there's a player I like enough to do that anyway.
Let me ask you this. Let's say you did. Let's say you did love Haskins, and I know you don't, but let's say you did.
I still probably wouldn't do it, and that goes against my theory and my axiom, which is find the right quarterback. Whatever it takes, go to the end of the earth. If you know you love the girl, Colton, jump over that fence, bro. Break up the TV show. Send the other two home. Hannah G and Tayshia can leave. It's you and Cassie. Do what you got to do. But I don't think I can go up 12 spots. I just think it's too steep a price, because at that point it's prohibitive of building the team around that player that would allow them to even thrive or succeed in a situation in Washington where no quarterback really has, other than Cousins, in most of the last 25 years. You don't have the cap space to spend in free agency to not need picks to help that quarterback play well. So at that point, I think you'd be cutting off the nose to spite your face.
The cupboard is bare. Offensively, the cupboard is bare. They are under-talented on skill positions on offense. I can't do this. Now, the Redskins don't think the way that I do. And speaking especially of their front office, guys at the top, Dan Snyder, Bruce Allen, and then by transitivity, the organizational directives on down. They don't feel that way. They think they're still ready to compete, even with an aging, oft-injured, 50-plus injured reserve guys on the roster over these last couple seasons. They believe that's just bad luck, and they're right there, ready to go 9-7 if everything breaks right. I do not. To me, they should be in the business of acquiring as many picks as possible. They need to be in the business of infusing young, cheap, controllable talent as often as possible. That means moving on, painfully so probably, from certain guys. They will not think that way, so let's get rid of that line of thinking. Let's get rid of that conversation. I still don't see them doing this, because the cost would be so great and dire and transformative over the next several seasons that there's no way to make this team okay, right?
Let's ask it this way then, and we can open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines for you guys at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Jason Lockenfora reporting on CBS Sports yesterday that the Redskins are sniffing around at the idea of moving up to number 3. Making a trade with the Jets to get Dwayne Haskins. I will just tell you, I think there is a very slim to none chance that this actually comes to fruition.
They're doing their due diligence, which
Absolutely.
Is good.
But here's the question. Would you be willing to go up 12 spots, giving up most of next year's draft and a lot of the rest of this year's draft, to get a quarterback if this front office and coaching staff loves the guy? That's the question. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Also, Danny, I'm going to make your day. It has been a banner year for the Cowboys getting in trouble off the field.
Nice.
One of the Cowboys got into a bar fight, apparently.
It's a class act.
He's
class
in a little
act.
Bit of trouble. We'll get to that next on The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan from the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino. 106.7 The Fan, your flagship home for the Nationals. Every pitch, every homer, all season long. The Capitals, each and every goal during their Stanley Cup run a year ago. And we're going to run it back with the boys as TJ Oshie and the Caps try to go back to back.
Back to back.
Back to back. Appreciate you guys listening and hanging with us. We are at the casino today and tomorrow here at Charlestown. Come on by, say hello if you are a listener and you are here. Come on up. We want to chat with you. Otherwise, we're just going to think you're a person that's normally here and doesn't know who we are. And well, that's fine, too, but it's not as fun for us. So come on out and kick it. Real quick, before we get to the Redskins and the idea of trading up for Dwayne Haskins, which I am out on. I would like to go on record. I'm out on
out,
that.
Out.
Cowboys defensive line. If you play on the Cowboys defensive line, it probably just by way of percentages has not been a good offseason for you so far. Randy Gregory, you are suspended again. 6 sacks last year. David Irving, you are suspended again. 7 sacks in 2017. By the way, he has since gone on, I think it was Instagram, but maybe it was Periscope, or maybe it was Stitcher or Spotify. I have no idea.
I don't know.
He went somewhere and did a live video where he was smoking a blunt and saying he's giving up on the NFL basically because the man can't hold him down.
Sure, that's the reason.
So he is choosing fun over millions of dollars and playing in the National Football League chasing quarterbacks. So those two guys suspended. And now I present to you a third Cowboy in trouble. A report today that Tyrone Crawford, he, of course, the 29-year-old Boise State product.
Good player, by the way.
4.5 or more sacks each of the last 4 seasons on that line, has missed no fewer than 2 games. How about he apparently got into a bar fight, according to reports.
There you have it. The Dallas Cowboys professional crime enabler, who they pay money to keep crimes and things out of the news. Not to prevent crimes from happening, not to take care of their players.
Is that still your pinned tweet?
It will be until he is no longer their professional crime enabler.
We don't have time, but just give people a 1 minute synopsis of that Kent Babb story in the Post. And you can see it at Danny's Twitter account. I think it's from September of 2017.
I couldn't believe it when I read it. This guy's name is David Wells, not the fat pitcher that pitched a perfect game hungover. No, he is just a bad person that is employed by the Dallas Cowboys, paid huge sums of money to prevent crimes from becoming public, not to help guys not prevent crimes, not do things where it say, hey, don't go get drunk and get in a bar fight, or don't do drugs. None of those things. He's there to enable them to get away with their crimes and takes great pride in it. And he thought he was coming off like a superstar when interviewed by Kent Babb, when in reality, he is an enabler of criminal activity employed professionally by the Dallas Cowboys. Never forget who you root for. If you root for the Cowboys, you're wrong.
Are you with me when I say I believe that trading up into the top five to get Dwayne Haskins would be a huge mistake? It's got nothing to do with the player or the career that he could have, and everything to do with the fact that I think this is one of those crippling moves. When you got to go up that many picks, if you're picking at 5 or 6 like the Giants, and you think by going up 3 you can get him, cool, no problem. To go all the way up into the top 5, to give up what it would take, would rip talent away from you for the next couple of years. Opportunities to layer 4, 5 potential contributors, 2, 3 quality starters in the early rounds. I think it would be a really bad decision.
I mean, you know where I stand on this. I'm opposed to them staying at 15 and taking a quarterback because I don't think Jay Gruden makes it through the rest of his contract.
But that's because, too, of who's going to be there. If Haskins is there at 15, you would want to take him.
I still wouldn't, even though I like him.
Me.
No, because they're devoid of talent. Haskins isn't going to be any good with no talent around him. Jay Gruden gets fired, then he's got to learn a brand new system. I want whoever the head coach is going forward. Now, if it is Jay Gruden, extend him and let's just do this dance. I don't want a rookie quarterback have to get Josh Rosen. I don't want that situation. That's not good for anybody. That's how careers get shot. When a guy's in his first couple years is learning how to be an NFL player and having to learn his second and third system right away, that to me is a terrible recipe. So I couldn't be more opposed to trading up. The only reason the Redskins might do it is out of fear that the Giants get him. That's not a great way to run an organization.
Let's get to the phones. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in on this. The report from Jason Lockenfora is that the Redskins are, quote-unquote, sniffing around at moving up to number 3, making a trade with the Jets. Lockenfora, by the way, will be on the show to discuss what he's hearing at 1 o'clock, an hour and a half from right now. Ron is in D.C. on line 1. Ron, this is Grant and Danny at the Sportsbook Hollywood Casino getting ready for the tournament. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
I look at this situation as what the Redskins have been the last 4 years. They are in 7-9, 9-7 purgatory. If you add more talent on top of this, they're going to be a better team, and they're going to still be in that purgatory. How on earth do they get that elite prospect quarterback if they don't move up? I can't understand how Redskins fans believe that if you add more talent, then you will magically get that quarterback, that elite prospected quarterback, to fall into your lap wherever you may be.
I actually agree with your logic. I just don't think this guy is that dude. Appreciate the call. And that's where we talked about if it's another quarterback, if it's a guy I love, if it's a can't-miss prospect. I even think the conversation might be a little bit different, even though it's a much, much lower floor. But I think it's a much higher ceiling if they're moving up to number three to get Kyler Murray. For me, I think Haskins is a really quality thrower of the football. I think he's got a high floor, maybe a lower ceiling than some of the guys in this class. I worry a little bit about the athleticism. But I think there's an element of timing to this, too.
Yep.
There is such a thing of can't-miss quarterback prospects. Andrew Luck was one, as an example, right? Where you just say, break glass, do whatever you have to do, go get him. The talent around him doesn't matter as much as having him. I don't think there's a quarterback in this year's class that is that type of guy. When that guy's available, and maybe it's next year, maybe they decide it's Jake Fromm or it's Tua Tagovailoa or one of these other guys, Justin Herbert. It's not one of the players in this group, in my opinion, and because of that, the amount you'd have to give up, it has to be warranted. The juice has to be worth the squeeze. I just don't think it is.
Right, because you can't just rate prospects this year. It's year over year.
Yeah, he's
it's
the best guy available.
No, okay. I like Haskins even more than you do, by the way. I like his prognosis in the NFL. I agree with you. He's got a high floor, and I think he's got a star ceiling. I'm a Haskins fan, but still, and keep this in mind, everyone got mad at me. Everyone got very mad when I said, I'm not going to celebrate this win over Jacksonville, this empty calorie win that doesn't help anything. I'm not saying the players should have gone out and tried to lose. What I am saying is, as a Redskins fan, this is what it costs you. You're now, you move down probably six, maybe seven, depending on some of the math, spots in the draft, and now you have that much more difficult of a situation to trade up if you want to. In a year where you may very well need a quarterback, you just made it harder on yourself. So forgive me if I'm not standing up and applauding like I'm at the end of a movie montage or something like that when they beat the Jaguars.
I don't know that anyone should make fun of you for that stance, but I certainly think that it's the football team that you like, and when they win, you should be happy. Otherwise, what's the point of the entire process? Let's go to the phones again at 800-636-1067 and to line two, and we will check in with Paulie in Hampton. Paulie, how you doing?
Yeah, man, how you guys doing? Hail to the Redskins.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I'm going to say this. That's real asinine to do that. I mean, all the points you guys are making is 100%. I mean, we got too many holes to be trying to move up 15 spots or 12 spots to get a player. If you're moving up that much, you need to be moving up to get the best player. This is like very Vinny Serrato-like. I also want to say this. My second thought is I like thinking like, you know what? Every time there's a big trade or a big free agent, the Redskins' name get thrown in there. I'm not saying this report is not true.
No, it's true. It's true. You're right.
I think that we're being used as pawns a lot of times, too, to up the price of things. Because teams and agents and players know, hey, the Redskins, it's believable for the Redskins to make this idiotic move. So let's throw their name in there and see if we can move the needle some.
It's a great phone call.
I think that's 100% right, Paulie, by the way.
Smart point. It really is. And that's happening. We talked about this a couple weeks ago with some other moves. But every player who was about to be released, who we found out might hit the market.
The Redskins are asking about Flacco.
Right. No, they're not. Why would they do that? They can't afford him. The Redskins want Nick Foles. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
They can't afford these guys. But their name kept coming up as if money wasn't an issue and Alex Smith wasn't taking up $40 million in cap space the next 2 years after his injury. Chris Nockey provides color commentary on the Maryland Basketball Radio Network. He's going to join us next on Grant and Danny to preview today's 11-6 matchup at 3:10 with the Terps trying to deal with a Belmont team that is on a lot of brackets upsetting Maryland. We'll talk to him about that game, get his thoughts on the field. He saw a lot of the teams in this 64-club bracket. Nockey next, Grant and Danny on Tournament Thursday on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thursday, March 21st in 2019, day one of the 2019 NCAA tournament. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, and where else would you rather be, DR, than right here at the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino, where I got a stack of bets, very little money on the line. But it's funny. You can put $5 or $10 down on a game, and it changes how you feel about that game
so much. It enhances the give-a-darn factor, I'll tell you that. I mean, the same thing happened. I fill out a bracket with no consequence, and next thing you know, I'm sitting there pumping my fist in the middle of a second half, a bunch of guys I never heard of.
Maryland-Belmont, one of the more intriguing games of the day, and a game that there is local interest in. So let's get to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline and preview it with our buddy Chris Nockey, who has been on the call throughout the season, Maryland basketball, and for many years, one of the real informed gentlemen on that team. Chris, thanks for joining us, first of all. It is Tournament Thursday. You're sent in December right now, right? This is what you do, man.
Yeah, you know, it's exciting. And I tell you what, I'm borderline – I mean, I'm in Jacksonville, and it, by definition, it does not suck, okay? But you guys are in a good spot. I'm impressed. That is a good place to be right now.
Catbird seat, my friend. The line is just starting to fill up in front of us. But there are a couple of dudes who were ahead of the game. I was just talking to one of them. For like $250, you can get a hotel room, reserve yourself seats and tables for your buddies. You get your own line that you don't have to wait in a line to go up and make your bets. It's a pretty sweet deal that they got working here. So that's probably the way to go.
Professional move. Professional move right there.
Savvy. You're right.
How much trouble might Maryland be in with this matchup with Belmont? Is it just sexy to say that Belmont beats them? It seems like that's kind of the national thought. But that tends to happen, I guess, when you have an 11-6 and a 6 that didn't look particularly good in its conference tournament.
Well, I mean, you know, sort of that's what happens here in March. People love to talk about the possibility of upsets just like this one. And, gosh, so many people are talking about it. Grant, it's one of those things where it probably wouldn't be an upset if it happened, I guess, given the fact that it seems to be on everybody's short list. But, you know, I watched them play the other night, Belmont against Temple. They had a really impressive win. It was a game of just wild runs, and they had more of them, and they pulled away in about the last 5-6 minutes of the game. And they're impressive. They're really, really skilled. They got a coach who's been, you know, at the helm there at Belmont for, like, you know, for 117 years or something like that. I mean, he's won 805 games. It's ridiculous what his resume is, and they're just a damn good team. Everybody is who's playing right now.
Chris Nockey with us here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline here on Grant and Danny. We are live at the Hollywood Casino Sportsbook, looking out at dozens of people getting their bets in before the tournament games start in just under an hour. Chris, here's the thing. Belmont A, pretty good, as you touched on. Maryland limping in down the stretch. They lost 3 or 4. No shame in losing to Michigan. They're terrific. But sandwiched with a Penn State loss and that Nebraska loss in the tournament, it's hard to be inspired by Maryland basketball right now. Even though Turgeon is you know, offering that air of confidence yesterday on with the Junks, it doesn't look great here down the stretch.
Well, I think to your point, Danny, those bookend losses, you know, that started with Penn State. And, of course, the most recent one was the debacle at in Chicago against Nebraska. And those were two listless, lifeless performances that will have you packing early in a situation like this. So, I mean, I think that pretty much for the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been kind of Jekyll and Hyde. And, you know, in that four-game run that you're talking about, the one win that we had, I mean, we throttled a Minnesota team that's in the tournament.
They're pretty
tournament.
Good, yeah.
And so... and we did it, I didn't make any jumpers, but Maryland won with Bruno Fernando in foul trouble, deep foul trouble in the first half. Still, 12-point lead at halftime, and you end up, you know, sailing in the second half. So, I don't know, you know, it's kind of the nature of the beast when you're coaching 19, 20-year-old guys, but I sometimes worry that you know, that groups hit the wall a little bit, especially younger groups. But if that were the case, I think there'd be a lot more teams hitting it. I just think this team needs to find a stride early in this game. You know, you cannot get down to Belmont. You can't be down, you know, 15-4, because then I just think that you've dug yourself a hole against a team that's already coming in here confident. And you need to start off this game on, you know, at just a high octane level, I think.
Chris Nocke, of course, the former head coach at American. You know him from his work for so many years calling Maryland games. Who's more important to the Terps? Anthony Catwin Jr., who averaged 16-4 this year, Bruno Fernando coming off that dud, you know, 14-10 guy.
I'm going to tell you that it's, without question for me, it's Cowan. I think that when he plays well, they win. And he's one of those guys that can elevate other performances. You know, you need the fire that you get from Bruno, the passion you get from Bruno. But in terms of playing well, it's Cowan, hands down. And you know, in those two games that we talked about, back to Danny's question about the four coming in, you know, he lit up Minnesota in that game where they won in the middle of all that. But he was nowhere to be found in the first half against Nebraska when they really needed him in the tournament. And then he struggled much, you know, like the rest of the team did at Penn State. So he is the guy you want to look at. I mean, if the Terps are to win, and more importantly, if the Terps are to win and stay and play well, and it will be because, you know, Anthony sort of turned things around for himself in this tournament.
Chris, I'm with you on that. But where Maryland should have a huge advantage is Bruno Fernando, a lottery pick by all accounts, over, you know, the dude with 900 consonants in his name, Nick Mazuski or whatever, from Belmont. How does Bruno Fernando only get four shots against Nebraska? I know it's dependent, and he's got to get the ball, but that to me is where, I mean, they should be down low. He should just be kicking, and Jalen Smith as well, just kicking the snot out of those dudes and make them adjust. Is that the game plan for you, and how do they take advantage?
I would think so. No, I think that what Belmont will do, Belmont will look at that Nebraska tape and see what they did. So you can expect Bruno to get double and triple team down there. That doesn't mean he can't get shots. But the other thing is this: he is a terrific offensive rebounder. I mean, he averaged, you know, 11 rebounds a game in Big Ten play. Very good offensive rebounder, and that's not just one more place to get points down there. So. Yet, against Nebraska, he had zero. He had 8 rebounds total, 0 on the offensive end. That's going to have to change. He does have a quickness advantage and a size advantage against Musinski, like the guy that you were referencing. And so you really need to exploit that. I would imagine he'll touch the ball first possession and, you know, early and often here this afternoon.
Our guest is Chris Nocke. You'll hear him calling Maryland games throughout the tournament. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Here's where I think this game's decided, and then you're the expert and the adult in the room, so you tell me why I'm right or wrong here. Maryland, by all accounts, is very good defensively. I think I saw they were ranked 16th in the nation this year, but they are 57th at defending the three. They had a really hard time doing that, and that's where Belmont makes its money. I think that's kind of the story of the game. Can they get out on shooters? Can they force tough shots from the outside? Why will they be able to, and is that oversimplified?
No, I think if I'm drawing up keys on a dry erase board in the Maryland locker room, the very first thing I write is transition defense. One of the things that Belmont really did against Temple, and Temple is really well-schooled defensively. I mean, their coach is a terrific coach who's done it for a long, long time, yet they did not do a good job getting back, identifying shooters. You have to not only get back on defense, you have to find somebody. It doesn't matter if it's your man or not. You basically count out. I got this one. You know, somebody else, I got that. You know, so you got to make sure these guys are covered in transition. They had a guy just absolutely light up Temple from the perimeter. Their best player really had kind of a pedestrian night, but this kid, Kevin McClain, the 6'3 senior, it just lit up Temple. He gets 29 points on just 14 field goal attempts, and a bunch of those came in transition where basically he towed up at the three-point line and let it fly, and you can't give them open looks like that. So, yeah, you're correct, but specifically the thing that needs to happen is your transition defense has to be on point in this game today.
Yeah, the law firm of Windler and McLean carried those guys all season long. Chris, before we let you jump, let's say hypothetically you could jump to the front of this betting line right here. You can't pick Maryland, obviously, and you're not allowed to take Duke. Who wins this whole thing?
Carolina.
I bet, yeah. That
and I also think that if Carolina and Duke played again, I mean, I think it's funny. North Carolina is one of those teams that, to me, I wouldn't surprise me to see them upset. But I think if they got to the finals against Duke, I think they'd feel good about their chances in that game.
Chris Nocke's got work to do today. The Terps in action. Maryland Belmont tips off at 3:10. If you're at home watching, it's on True TV. So it's just a bunch of Impractical Jokers reruns, and then they break that apart for some college
much.
Basketball.
Apologies to fans of Impractical Jokers.
Chris, thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
See you, pal.
Good
Enjoy.
Having you on the show. We're Grant and Danny. 1 o'clock today, Jason Lockenfora, and at 1:30, Capitals winger Brett Connolly, who has joined the 20-goal club. The Capitals now have 6 players with 20 goals after Yevgeny Kuznetsov got there last night. Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Our double play coming up in a moment. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're Grant and Danny, Sportsbook Hollywood Casino, where fans are getting their bets in ahead of the start of today's tournament. We were actually about, I don't know, a little less than 30 minutes away from the tip-off of the first game. Quick tweet, though, from Adam Schefter. I want to read you, Danny, before we get to the double play. He said, one NFL scout in Morgantown, West Virginia, just texted him. Quarterback Will Greer put on a show for NFL teams in attendance. Predicted that he's going to be a riser. The WVU QB is expected to meet with at least 10 teams before the draft, including the Giants, Redskins, Chargers, Patriots, and Saints. Greer, I think, is probably the guys that don't get a lot of run, like the Stidham-type pack of cute quarterbacks outside of the big boys. I think he might be the best of the bunch, of the rest, so to speak. But Gruden is watching him today. Scouting department is at Missouri watching Drew Locke. The Redskins covering their bases. You know they're in on quarterbacks. They were at Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray. They're going to end up being at just about all of these sessions to see these kids throw.
I can confirm for you that I am no scout. I am just a pudgy idiot that likes sports. But he is my third favorite in this class. Haskins is my one. Kyler Murray's two. And my number three is Will Greer. I just like hyper-productive, accurate college quarterbacks. People don't seem to like him very much, though. Guys that I respect, like guys like Chris Sims, have him. You got to do that two-finger slide down on your mouse pad, on your laptop to find where he is on people's lists. He's not very well thought of for some reason. I think it's probably an arm strength issue or a perceived one that they haven't seen him drive the football down the field and make some of those big boy throws that you just don't have to make in the Big 12 where defense is as optional as an extra side dish. But to me, that guy's productive. That guy's pretty good. I would love for the Redskins to do a move similar to what Baltimore did last year to get Lamar Jackson. We're at 15. You take best player available, be it a pass rusher, a wide receiver, whomever you choose. Tight end is on the board as well. And then maybe move back into the back end of the first round. Get that extra year of team control and take Will Greer. I like him more than I like Locke, more than I like Daniel Jones, more than I like the NC State kid, Lindley, or Stidham from Auburn. I like him, but the industry doesn't seem to. So what do I know?
I like the maturity, too. There's a lot of talk about the fact that he's married with a kid, and he kind of grew up a lot younger than a lot of guys. It seems to me like when you watch how he handles himself, he does not come off as your prototypical college quarterback. You know, some young 20s guy. He looks more like someone who might be able to lead men, someone who's kind of been around the block and lived a little bit. And I like that edge and some grit to him. 2 games tipping off next hour in the tournament to get the whole thing started. Minnesota-Louisville at 12:15, about 25 minutes from now, and Yale-LSU, a 14-3 game at 12:40. We'll keep you abreast of everything going on in Grant and Danny, but right now, let's get to our double play. Why not? I'll tell you a little bit about our trip so far here at the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino. Got in real late last night, haven't done a whole lot. Got a little breakfast at the hotel.
A little breakfast.
Had 4 sausage links. I like links over patties. I don't know about you.
If I've given the choice, and let's say both are good quality, I'll actually take a patty,
over a link.
I think the patty I can mix in with whatever I'm eating better. I like to combine my bites. I'm not anti-link, though. I'm very pro-link.
Sounds anti-link to me.
I don't want you to take it that way. Two things can be great. Two women can be beautiful, Grant.
Eggs and sausage links. I bypassed. Didn't want to, but I bypassed the bagels.
All the carbohydrates were left on the shelf for me.
It was a carb-free breakfast. We came on over, parked in the garage. Couldn't have been easier. Walked in. Now, it's raining here. I don't know if it's raining in D.C. I'd presume it is. We're only about an hour and a half away.
What time is it in D.C. right now? Do we even know?
Yeah, so they're 2 hours ahead, I think. So it's like, I think it's right around 11:50 a.m. there, right?
It's tomorrow in D.C.
It's next Wednesday, I think, in D.C. We're going to be here for the next 2 days. Do we have a plan yet? Do we have a spot to post up? Do we know what TVs we're going to get set up for the games that we want? I know that we have planned lunch because we kind of always plan out the next meal. That's what we do.
It's so important to us to make sure the next meal is taken care of.
We're going to the Skybox Sports Bar.
That's what we're doing.
That'll be a good time. We'll watch some games there. What about after that?
I don't know. That I don't know. That I haven't figured out yet. I know that the next meal's at that Sky Sports Bar where I will post up like a 1980 center and make sure that all the appies come my way. I'll make sure that all the delicious food stuff comes my way, and I will be watching college basketball games with great meaning and significance on the televisions. I know that.
Can I get kind of your perfect ideal scenario? Because I'll lay mine out for you. I would like to do nothing but watch college basketball all day and eat twice at restaurants in this vicinity. Now, we could either stay at the sports book for the duration until the final minute of the final game is played after midnight tonight.
Almost, yeah.
And we could just sit right here. If you want, we could go outside and get some fresh air and bounce to wherever you'd like to for a couple hours and come back. But for me, kind of the goal for me to be happy today in our little marriage here, just communicating because they told us to do that in our couples counseling.
Happy wife, happy life, they said.
I would like to just do nothing but watch basketball and eat restaurant food twice.
I want that. I also want to limit conversation with people that I don't know. So I'd like to do what you're saying, but also not talk to anybody. You see what I'm saying there? Like add
but
in.
We want listeners to come up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a quandary. How do I do that? Maybe you could talk to them, and I could just wave.
Okay, that would be good.
And that would be nice. And we welcome everybody, obviously, of course. But I'd like to just be able to watch the games without having to, like, explain something about myself or when I actually got in or when did you get in? How long did it take you? How long did it take you? Oh, really? That's similar. I'd like to not do any of that and watch the sporting events that I care about while eating foodstuffs. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I could sit in a certain way where I'm furthest away. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't hear. I just can't hear. I'm just going to watch the games.
Grant, can I pitch an idea to you?
I would love ideas, Dar.
Danny can go home and sleep. We all know he wants to.
Well, eventually I will. Yeah.
What time is – hold on before you continue. What time is your nap today?
No need for a nap. I got more than 12 hours of sleep
last night. So you're not leaving, going home, taking a nap, and coming back?
I won't need to.
Wow.
Normally, okay. When I sleep 2.5 hours interrupted, I need to slumber.
So, Dar, get me up to speed what you're thinking.
What do you say? You, me, Danny Rouye.
Ranny Douye.
Hang out at Skybox Sports Bar.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Until we want to go to sleep tonight.
I like that.
Is
it a date?
Very happy
I think
with
that.
Hey.
Is. And then why don't we save a couple seats so that way when Russell, Hoffman, and PJ are done, and Bear, if he wants to come.
Peach.
They can join us.
What do you want to do next, Peach?
We have a seat for Peach.
You're
the program director of the other radio station, which I think as of this moment is a thing.
Yeah.
Do we have a seat for Siege?
No.
We don't have two for him, no.
Okay. Don't be mean. That's not nice. I don't endorse that comment. What is on the Beltway Blitz?
The Beltway Blitz will be Michael Phillips on the Redskins. He's also in San Jose if you want to ask him about the Hokies. If not, no big deal.
Okay.
And then Troy Macker on the tournament as a whole.
Thank you very much.
Looking forward to
Thank you very much.
That is what's coming up next on your Beltway Blitz. Second half of the show, we're going to keep you up to speed on all the games in the tournament. On Grant and Danny, you are listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.